few more announcements. The United Methodist Men are having their garage sale next Saturday. It's in the back of our property out by the garages out back. And if you can help with that, men, we would certainly appreciate your help and to come and help. We just move things out of the garage. It's not as big a deal as we do our rummage sale, so we could certainly use your help with that. And if you have any items this week, you can bring them to the church as well and drop them off. I would encourage you, though, I come in the office this morning, and the office is full of rummage sale, garage sale stuff. And that doesn't really look that good over there in our nice new office. So if you do bring something, and I notice people have left things back by the garage, sometimes they sit there for 2 or 3 or 4 days before anybody does anything with them, and they get rained on and all that kind of thing. So if you bring them during the day, have Carolyn or Gary open up the fellowship hall this week, and you can put things in the fellowship hall. That way it keeps our office looking a little better, and the valuable items that you're bringing us doesn't sit out in the weather for a few days. So remember that when you bring things this week as well. I don't know, Ken, are you in here? Are we going to pick up large items this week for the rummage sale, furniture items and things like that?
Yeah, I can coordinate that by in the conference meeting after the service.
Okay.
Or call Carolyn and she'll get in touch with you.
Yeah, we can't move sofa beds and things like that from the third floor, move them down the stairs and things like that. So be conscious of that. Our men are very willing and most of the time able, and I can tell you, dragging those heavy couches down 3 flights of stairs is not fun. So we may not be the place to bring those items, right, Bill?
Right.
Bill's been a part of Bill and Bill, you've all been a part of that. So, but we sure love to have your items this week if you want to bring them by at the office as well. Moving on, the Bishop's Town Hall meeting, I mentioned that last week. There is, again, both an insert and a full page talking about what the Bishop is encouraging us to attend those meetings. And ours, I believe, is on the closest one is on Sunday. I believe it's the 25th, Sunday the 25th. If you're able to go to that, I know it's down in Fort Lauderdale, but there's really a lot of things that could be changing about Methodism around the world, not just in Florida or the country, but around the world. So the Bishop is going to address some of those items, and it's a chance for you all to ask questions. You know, I will come back here and try to relay the information that I receive, but a lot of times if you have questions or something, you would have the opportunity then to ask the Bishop directly, or you might hear someone else ask your question. So, but I would encourage you on the 25th to make arrangements to go down. It's Christ Church, Fort Lauderdale. I know it's a long way. We can carpool some people that don't want to drive that far or something. But I really would encourage you as members of this church and as United Methodists that there could be some, and I don't know where our denomination is heading, but it's certainly worth keeping our eyes and ears open and to be a part of that process as well. So I would encourage you to do that as well. Robin has informed me we've got our crosswalk shirts ordered today, so we're going to have some nice, beautiful shirts. We're going to be a team, so I'm hoping that I think we have at least 25 or so, 30 people, right, walking in the crosswalk. So there is information about that. It's on October 1st in your bulletin, so be sure and look at that. If you'd like to sponsor a walker, we don't do individual sponsoring, really, but if you want to write a check or drop some money in the offering plate, just note it to be for the crosswalk, and that money will go then to Cross Ministries as well. And a reminder, this week we have leadership council on Wednesday evening, so be here for that, and we're working on the budget, right, Barbara? So, budget's an easy thing here, so it's all good. So hopefully the leadership council, all of you members of that, can come out and we'll get the budget squared away for next year. That's a lot of things going on in the life of our church. I would encourage you to take that bulletin home and keep track of us day by day and find out what's going on and be a part of as many things as that you're able to. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Did I mention the flood buckets?
No.
I did not mention the flood bucket. Hang on 1 second, please. I forgot to mention that. Yesterday, we had the flood bucket packaging event that we put together here. We put together 8 flood buckets, so 8 families are going to get a chance to receive those things. North Florida, I believe, is receiving these buckets as well now at this time, as well as Louisiana through this latest series of floods. So everyone that took part in that and the organizers of that, I appreciate your help. I wish I could have been here, but I was up in Lakeland for a couple of days taking some classes. So, but thank you all that took part in that and that donated towards that great cause. So thank you all very much as well for that.
Thank you. hearts belong to you. Be our shepherd and guide our ways, for we are weary of wandering lost and afraid, and long to be welcomed home. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
The morning is the Lamb, to receive honor and glory and praise. Our first song is going to be, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. I know we know that song, so I hope I hear you. And the second song is, Worthy, You Are Worthy.
Stories of people that have lost things, or a woman that lost a coin and she tore her whole house apart, cleaning. One good thing in that story, she actually cleaned her house while she was looking for one coin, right? So we need to remember that God, we never can get lost. You know people that are lost from God, that don't know God? I do too. That's kind of sad, isn't it? For those of us that believe in where we're going and who our Savior is, to know people and to love some of those people. Do you know people you love that maybe don't know God too well? So if we keep praying for those folks, God is still looking for them and searching out for them, right? So our job then is to continue to pray and lift people up. Any of you have folks in your family that are far from God or claim to have never known there was a God? So our job is to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for assuring us that we are never too far gone, that you can't find us. Father, like this wedding ring, I knew it was in there somewhere, but it certainly didn't reveal itself to me easily. So, Father, today, as we lift up those that we love and care about, we pray that if it's not us, you would send someone into their lives to open their love, to open their eyes to the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for Kat this morning. I thank you for her loving spirit, her joy-filled face. I thank you for putting her in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Kat. I nearly teared up there for a minute. Love you. Unfortunately, we do have folks in our lives that are far from God. Got an amen statement? And they need our prayers. Now at the time of our service, when we go before the Lord in prayer, and I haven't had a chance to take a quick look at these. Let me look at them quickly here. Good to see our friend David Shute back here again. Yeah. He's been in and out of JFK. Glad to see that. He's had shingles and he's had some heart issues, so he's ready to be well. And David, we're ready for you to be well as well, to continue to pray for you as well. Donna Linderson is experiencing back pain. I'm lifting Donna up today. Catriona spoke with me earlier about her cousin that's in the Navy. We prayed for him before, but he had some sort of either reaction or an accident on board the ship in Virginia, and he's in the hospital with some serious health conditions. So, Catriona, we will lift him up this week as well and pray for healing. Gene Crawford, her grandson Brandon Wilson, 23 years old, is in on life support in Lakeland. Wow. He had a fall and suffered a brain injury. Wow. All right, Gene, we will definitely keep Brandon in our prayers. The family of Bill Graham, and we did get word on Monday. We prayed for Bill last Sunday, and he went home to be with the Lord on Monday morning. So, Mary, that's family members of Mary Hannah. So, we're lifting that family up as well. Ken and Rob and Sean Friend, we continue to pray for their health concerns and problems that they've experienced this week. And Laura and her husband to find a home. Linda, friend, is lifting Laura and her husband up today. So Linda will be praying all week for that situation as well and beyond, of course. And Catriona, thank you for remembering those that lost their lives 15 years ago. Wow. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. Can't believe how much our world has changed since 9/11/01. I know there's many things on your heart this morning, and of course, we have praises for our grandparents. I don't want to forget to mention that as well. I lost my grandparents at a very young age, and I tell you, I miss that relationship of having grandparents in my life. So I do remember some early childhood memories, but I certainly do miss grandparents. But I've had some great people, and even some of you folks have sort of filled that void for me. So I appreciate you as grandparents and for the influence that you have in your family's lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Gracious and loving God, today we do celebrate grandparents. Grandparents are not only related by blood, but they're related to us by relationships. So, Father, I just give you praise today for placing the people in all of our lives that have been nurturers, have been teachers, encouragers, and our supporters, Lord, for our entire lives. Father, we are just grateful for the people that you have given the honor to of being grandparents. Father, today as well is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. The evil that took place on that day is still being felt today in our world. But Father, as we speak about it in a moment, Jesus has given himself for all of us. And even for people that perpetrate evil and terror in the world. As we'll talk about Paul in a minute, Paul as well could fit this mold. So Father, I pray today that our world could somehow come to grips with evil and terror, and that we could live lives devoted to the love of Jesus Christ, and to show that love to the world. Father, today I lift up all of those that were affected, that lost lives on that day, and those that have lost lives because of that day, from that point forward. So, Father, we lift up the victims, the families, everyone affected by 9/11. But, Father, today we have needs close to home. Those we love and care about in this church are suffering from ill health, from the aging process. Father, we're grateful for their encouragement and stamina to meet each new day and to give you the praise and glory for the good days and the joy found in small things. Father, today we give the glory to you. Father, we love you. We know we live in a broken and brutalized world. But we also know that there's joy in a smile. There's happiness in the sunrise. There's tranquility in a rainfall. Father, we give you praise for those moments away from the world. Father, thank you for the gifts of your creation, for your ultimate creation, your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for giving us a Savior, for giving us a promise for eternity. Father, we love you, and as we pray together, let us remember that we are your children, and that we are never lost. Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil, thine is the kingdom,
ready for offertory time, I'd like to share the scripture with you. It comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the message of Christ, dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all the wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We come to this time in our worship when we can offer back to God a bit of what God has given to us. We do this in thanksgiving for sacred experiences that give us strength to answer our call. In gladness, we offer ourselves and our gifts to a transforming God. Would the ushers please come forward?
all very much for, I hope you rested up in the summer and you're ready for the hard workouts that Wendell has put you through, right, Wendell?
They're back in the saddle.
They're back in the saddle. You break them out for calisthenics before you get started on Thursday evening. That's why I quit the choir, because I thought you didn't have sex. We're going to be spending some time in 1 Timothy. We're going to talk about Paul today and who Paul was before and after his trip to Damascus. I think Paul's story mirrors our world today. I hope and pray that it does, because that means there's hope for people that seem hopeless. Hear this scripture today. We're reading from 1 Timothy 1. Verses 12 through 17. Hear these words. Please stand if you're able for the reading of God's Word today. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength because he considered me faithful. So he appointed me to ministry, even though I used to speak against him, attack his people, and I was proud. But I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and without faith. Our Lord's favor poured all over me, along with the faithfulness and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is reliable and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the biggest sinner of all. But this is why I was shown mercy, so that Christ Jesus could show his endless patience to me first of all. So I'm an example for those who are going to believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King of the ages, to the immortal, the invisible, and only God, may honor and glory be given to him forever and always. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for these words from Paul today. May them be a lampstand for us. Father, we thank you for this message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know, this week there's been some shows on History Channel, and CNN had a few things about 9/11. Do you remember where you were on 9/11?
Yes.
Just like things in our history, when JFK was assassinated, everyone remembers that day, right? What did you think happened when the news broke on? We were working in the machine shop. We were out there. We always had the radio on. And believe it or not, back in my sinful days, I think I was listening to Howard Stern.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Is there hope for me, Wendell? I don't know. When the plane hit the first tower, Howard Stern breaks in and says, "There's been some accident downtown in New York City." We didn't know what happened. So a little while longer, and they kept he'd come back and forth and say what was going on. So we had a little TV in the break room. So I went into the break room, and I turned the TV on, and sure enough, the news was on. Breaking news. So my co-worker out there, just the two of us in the shop, I went out and I said, "You better come in here and watch this. I don't know what's going on, but something's happening." So we're sitting there watching our little TV, and sure enough, across the sky, you've seen it on TV, right? The second plane. And we're like, "Well, why are they flying another plane by then? You know, they just had an accident." And the thing flies right into the building. We both looked at one another and said, "We're never going to be the same." Is that how you felt in those moments?
Yeah.
It's pretty safe to say we've never been the same, have we? Look how our world has changed. Look where we've been in the last 15 years. I'll be honest, my first thoughts once the news started breaking and, you know, they started getting a handle on what's happening and all of those things. And during that time, knowing that things would never be the same, we immediately started getting stories of heroes, of people willing to sacrifice themselves for someone else that they didn't even know. First responders. Good Samaritans going in and helping bring people out. We started getting the good news of the story, didn't we? Does that give you hope for humanity? And did you immediately go into prayer for those faces they started putting up saying, these are the people that did this? Did your immediate prayer go to, Lord, grant them the salvation of eternal life? It wasn't my first thought. And to be honest with you, even today, I have trouble praying for people that are doing these evil deeds around the world. Since then, we've had numerous accounts of these mass shootings and all these things that's happened. It's almost become a way of life, hasn't it? Do you think we as a nation of Christians, those of us that claim to be Christians nowadays, have we been in fervent prayer for these people? We certainly pray for the people whose lives are destroyed by these evil people, don't we? But this scripture I read to you today from 1 Timothy was Paul telling Timothy that he's a terrorist. We've done Bible studies on Paul, what a great man, he changed the world, the greatest of the apostles, spread the word among the Gentiles. And he was a terrorist in the beginning. And in that scripture today, Paul is telling us to pray for people like him. Those are people that would hijack airplanes, that would go into a nightclub, would go into a government office building, and open fire and kill people. Paul went so far as to go to the temple, to the high priest, and say, give me a letter, so I can travel about the land looking for these scoundrel Christians, and I will have a letter from the high priest saying, I am allowed to do what I want to with these, to destroy these new Christians. He received the letter, didn't he? And he went about his business persecuting Christians. Are these terrorists today in their mindset? I like in our scripture, this translation, the Common English Bible, even speaks of ignorance. You think these terrorists today have come up with these ideas of wiping out Christians and others, Westerners? I don't really know who they target. They target their own people. That's what don't make sense. When you're trying to rid the world of evil and you kill your own people, that makes sense, doesn't it? There's collateral damage, they say. So Paul went about the world, his world, persecuting Christians. He beat them. Did you know he was, remember him being present in the stoning Acts? Chapter 22 tells us of Stephen being stoned. And the people watching this came over and placed their cloaks at his feet like he's royalty. Look, we got another one. And what did Stephen say? You remember? Forgive them. Where else did we hear that?
On the cross.
From the cross. Stephen said, forgive them. I hope if that ever happens to me, that I have enough wind in my sails to say, God, forgive them because they're ignorant. Because they're ignorant of what? What are they ignorant of? their salvation, their Savior. So as Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, he came near Damascus and he had a bright light in his eyes. I wish today we had those examples of God coming down and blinding people and changing them. Would that make a difference today? If we had some evidence, I'm from Missouri, you've got to show me. I believe what I'm preaching to you. I believe what I tell you. I believe the scripture. And come on, God, let me see something. And you know what God tells me? I'm showing you stuff all the time. Why aren't you seeing it? Do you think God is showing you things every day? I know a lot of you are going through, I'm almost going to say a bad word. You're going through troubled times, aren't you? And some days there seems to be nothing good coming of this day. Nothing good has happened today that I'm going to give God the glory for. Do you feel that's true? Or at the end of the day, can you look back and pick out little nuggets that were blessings? Some days it's a stretch, isn't it? Some days it's little things that we overlook. Some days it's big things. I was blessed this morning, many, many times. Look over there and see you, Luann and Mary Ann. Your little grandson and great-grandson is so precious. And he looks at me and smiles. He doesn't know me from Adam. I hope he knows I'm okay, but you never know. But in his innocent eyes, it's all good. Look, there's a big goofy guy. That's funny. Look. He can't hurt me because he doesn't know pain yet. He doesn't know that people are going to mistreat him someday. He doesn't know that people are going to probably hate him someday. But right now in his life, I sure wish I was a baby now. For more reasons than you know. But Luann, I was blessed by him today. And I know you are. I see your postings on Facebook and making and all that. We live through Facebook now. And by the way, those are joyful times in my life when maybe puts pictures on there or a little video and he's doing the things he was doing this morning. That, I mean, it's cool. Some days that's all we get. Is that enough? Absolutely, it's enough. Ask his family. But some days that's all we get. We can be assured that God is bigger than the evil. Love is stronger than hate. We had a hate discussion in Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and we came back this past week, and we had to continue that discussion. Hate seems like such a mean word, doesn't it? In the original translation, it didn't have the connotations that our word hate has. It means love less. I love you, but right now I love you a little less. Hate in our vocabulary means I hate you. And if I can do evil to you, I probably will. I hate you and I don't want you to be in my life. We had a consensus in our Bible study that said we don't like that word. I'll be honest, there's times in my life I hated people. I thank God today that he's taken hatred away from me. There are some people I love a little less. But I don't want to say I hate people anymore. This evil in the world is based on ignorance and hate. True? Ignorance and hate. Why do we hate? We generally hate because something's different than we are. And that's from ignorance as well. Ignorance means we don't know about something, right? If we don't know about another culture, or another group of people, or another country, or whatever these things are, we have a tendency not only to be ignorant, but to hate them because they're not like us. Before Paul's Damascus Road experience, it was very easy for Christians to hate him, wasn't it? And he was the known hated person among the new converts. But folks, today, the grace of God, how much does that comfort you? Because I struggle with this. I'm your pastor. I stand up here and tell you to love everyone. And God's grace is going to make it all good. Aren't you all happy now? Doesn't that make you happy? Can't you jump for joy? Smiles on your face. That's the best word, best news I could ever get. But we don't love everyone, do we? So what do we do with that? How do we put that in a box and wrap it up and put a bow on it and set it out by the street for the garbage men to take away? Are we humanly capable of that? I don't know. I begin to wonder those things. Are we humanly capable of, I hate the word hate, loving less? I don't know if we are. And I'm discouraged by that because the Bible tells us all good Christians are going to love, learn to forgive people and to love them and just to give them the shirt off their back and all those things. Are you all comfortable with that today? Most of us have probably been Christians for many, many years, for a long time, maybe forever. And we still haven't put those things in our box and sent them off to the trash heap. So as we leave here today, I can't tell you to do something I'm not able to do, but I am able to tell you to do something that I'm willing to try to do. How's that? Let's try to be nice to one another. And the best that we can, let's try to pray for our enemies. We've heard that the last 2 or 3 weeks. How in the world can we pray for our enemies? I've shared some examples of those. My wife, for one, with the work experience she had, started praying for a woman that I think was close to hatred. And for a good number of months, or maybe even a year or longer, she prayed that this woman would change. She didn't change. She didn't change one bit. It got worse. My dad used to say, his mother told him to cheer up. Things could be worse. He said, I cheered up. They got worse. But when Nancy started praying for her heart to change, they're still in touch with one another, right, Nancy? Periodically. The woman got cancer, got sick. Nancy was a prayer warrior for her. Nancy was so afraid of her, she wouldn't go in the office with her alone, in her office. She'd take somebody with her. She said, that woman's the devil. She'll eat my face off if I go in there. Maybe she was on flopping. I don't know. But when she prayed to change her heart, things changed. Amen? I'm glad I found her. She gives me a lot of good sermon illustration. Sorry. I love you. So if we pray for God to change our heart, maybe that's the secret here. There's been people I've been praying for all my life to change. Doggone it, they won't change. Have any of you done that?
Amen.
Can't say that makes me feel good, but apparently God uses things like that to change us. And what happens when we change, it affects those around us, doesn't it? You ever notice that? You say, God, change me. Be able to deal with this awful situation. I think our prayer of, God, change this awful situation. He says, you change it. I'm busy, you change it. Think God ever says that? We pray for our hearts to be changed, and things change. That's what I want to leave you with today. Don't pray for someone else to change so much as to pray for you to change and change your heart. Sometimes that means to accept them for who they are. I don't like who they are. But if you change your heart, maybe you will like them better. We had a dear friend, a firefighter, that went up to New York City shortly after the towers collapsed. He was a firefighter from Delray Beach, Eric Patrick. I've spoken to him before. He was willing to go up there. He had a beautiful family, two small children, two daughters. And he went there to help. And like many of those first responders, short time later, he developed a brain cancer. He was early 30s when he died. It was my first funeral, a full blown out honors funeral out in Delray Beach. They asked me to do the service. And there was a lot of firefighters and police officers and all kinds of public service people. I mean, I don't know, there might have been 1,000 people there. They were outside. Had an honor guard. The bagpipes went way off in the neighborhood and started playing, and walking up gives you chills. But they were honoring someone that freely gave of themselves. I'm sure when he went, he didn't think, well, I'm going to breathe some of this dust and get cancer. But he did. We visited with him a lot before he died, and he never blamed anybody for that. So a lot of heroes died as a result of 9/11. They continue to die. There's been a lot of cancer. There's been a lot of illness because of that. And people continue to give of themselves. It's like our military. We honor our military because they're willing to go do the dirty work that the rest of us don't necessarily want to do or are able to do. For that, we should be grateful. Someone's willing to do the dirty work. So today we're honoring them as well. Let's pray. Gracious God, we have a lot to be thankful for today. But more than anything else, we're thankful for a transforming God. Father, for these issues in our lives that are just seem so unbelievable, so unconquerable. Father, I pray that our hearts would be changed. Father, I pray for those committing evil today in our world. Father, let us love them the way you love them. Love them the way you loved Paul and changed Paul from a terrorist to an apostle. Father, we pray that your work will continue where evil is found in our world today. So, Father, bless us now as we leave this place, and let us be that point of light to the world. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for us and for saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let us also speak those words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn today. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Amen. this place as examples of Christ's children willing to change our world. Father, we love you. We give you the grace and peace that you pour out upon us. Thank you, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.